time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
3, 2, and clap the board.
And Chad P.
Grossing me out, dog.
Oh, stop it.
Underwritten by Home Theater, etc. Class is in.
It's Sunday afternoon. It's time. It's you. It's us. We're here together again. My name is Joe Burns. This is Rock School on KSLU. I am a professor in the communications department. Sitting to my immediate right, as always,
Chad P.
Hiya, Chad.
How,
Chad,
Doc?
Chad's a former student of mine,
yep,
and one who must learn.
Okay. And I'm doing that.
Hey, look, listen. I'm gonna do something that you normally don't do in radio. I'm gonna get personal here.
What's that?
This has nothing to do with today's show, but I have to tell you a story.
Oh, tell me.
Have you gone down to Gulfport yet and gone to the Hard Rock Casino?
I have.
It's a fun little trip, and I, you know, I don't gamble.
I
could have $100 in my pocket, walk through the casino, and not care to drop it. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean I won't, you know, pay $50 for a hamburger. Sure.
Correct.
So I'm looking at all the stuff on the wall, and you know, I'm the guy that's got all this stuff in my head, and I'm just enjoying looking at all the guitars. And this older woman and her husband they're getting angry. I can see them, and they got their arms crossed. And finally she says out loud, no, she's looking at the stuff on the wall,
okay,
and I just happen
okay.
to be there, and I'm looking at Vinnie Vincent's pants thinking, man, okay, he's a little tiny guy, isn't he? But she finally says, who is that? I don't know half of these people. Aren't I supposed to know who these people are? And it's like I became Captain Hard Rock. I see, man, that's Peter Green. He's a guitarist. He was with John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. Then he left and got with Fleetwood Mac, he left with Mick Fleetwood, and he started Fleetwood Mac. Well, who's that? Oh, that's Rick Emmett. He's the lead guitarist of a group out of Canada called Triumph. I must have done this 4 or 5 times. I was Captain Hard Rock, and I could see other people sort of gathering around and listening to
Rock
me.
Rock School on location.
I'm explaining who Vinnie Vincent is, and I'm explaining.
Hey,
you know,
kind excellent. Of,
well, why is he signing a drum kit? Well, because he's a drummer. That's the bass drum. For, mm-hmm. It was great. For about, 5 minutes, I put on this little lecture, and I was in my element, and my wife and Maxwell, my son, had gone somewhere else. When they came back, it was beaming off me, and she's, okay, what did you do?
Surprised the manager
wonderful.
Didn't come out there and offer you a job. Dog.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. There's
Good
another
for you.
There's another story about this like 16-year-old girl who didn't know who INXS was,
uh-huh.
but she was dancing, and I looked at her, and I said, do you even know who that is? She goes, no, and I don't care. And I thought, wow.
Dang.
Okay, then. Today, for an hour, ladies and gentlemen.
What are we talking about?
Supergroups.
Ooh.
Supergroups. Now, supergroups are, and this is what we're going to do all hour long. We're going to play groups and we're going to decide, are they really supergroups? And like, here's what I think a supergroup is. First of all, the term is from a 1968 album called Super Session
mm-hmm.
that was put together by Al Kooper, who was from Blood, Sweat, and Tears,
mm-hmm.
Mike Bloomfield, who was from Bob Dylan's band, also the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, but most people would know Bob Dylan, and Stephen Stills, as in Buffalo Springfield, and mm-hmm. then Crosby, Stills, and Nash a little later on.
So the 60s.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, 68 is when it came in.
Okay.
A lot of people believe, though, that the first supergroup was Cream. The question, well, yeah, but was it really a super group? Were all the members really from other successful bands?
It was just Eric Clapton and the other guys,
well,
right?
Yeah, but Ginger Baker was with Manfred Mann's Earth Band, but,
uh-huh.
I mean, was everybody, was it really a super group?
If it's a super group has to consist of everyone being from a different group?
That's the question. I don't think it's everyone. I think you have to have at least two
okay.
people from two different groups.
All
like,
right.
For example, is Led Zeppelin a super group? I don't really think so.
Mm.
You know, Jimmy Page was with the Yardbirds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is Van Halen a super group because they hooked up with Sammy Hagar? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is Wings a super group because because Paul McCartney is in it and the guitarist was for a while with Procol Harum and the Moody Blues?
I have one. Was Temple of the Dog a super group because they had members from Soundgarden and Pearl Jam?
Well, that's
Would
the
you
question.
Consider that a super group?
That's
okay.
the question. So we're going to go the whole way through this thing.
Sweet.
We're going to play nothing but super groups.
Excellent.
And we begin with somebody from Led Zeppelin.
Who's that?
This group is made up of Paul Rodgers, who was
okay.
with Free to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
He was then with Bad Company.
Yeah.
Jimmy Page, who was from, of all places, Led Zeppelin. Tony Franklin, who played with a country rock artist called Roy Harper.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guy named Chris Slade, who was with a great heavy British band called Uriah Heep.
I think I know who you're talking about.
This is the first super group on Rock School. This is The Firm.
That's it.
Because I am radioactive. Under we go. Super groups for an hour. I am Captain Hard Rock.
Oh, God.
Well, I'm not uptight, not unattractive. Turn me on tonight, 'cause I'm a radioactive, radioactive. Well, it's not a fight, and I'm not your captive. Turn me loose tonight.
Love that sort of violin, that all fourths, up and down, up and down.
Sounds kind of cosmic.
It does, yeah. It's just all fourths, up and down. And I remember that song came out when I was a freshman or sophomore in college, and I had, you know, my guitar set over in the corner. And I told you before, the way to learn these songs was to, you know, back the needle up and all that kind of stuff, and that just gave me fits. It took me a while to get it. And once I got it, you know, then the guy comes over who's playing, and he says, I understand you got that part. Can you show it to me? And you just kind of want to say, no, go learn it yourself. I spent 2 hours on this.
You go back the needle up.
Super groups all hour long. We go on to the Power Station. Power Station, a blatant super group made up of people who were successful either on their own or in other bands, as was the one we just played, The Firm.
Yeah.
The Power Station is made up of two people from Duran Duran.
Cool.
John Taylor and Andy Taylor. John Taylor, the guitarist, amscrayed and went out on his own and put out a rock album, and it's pretty good. It didn't have many hits, but if you can find John Taylor's solo album, the first one, it's pretty darn good. It really is. It's 1980s type rock. You know what I mean? Like, it should be in a bad John Waters film, but it's still pretty good.
80s rock's good, man.
Robert Palmer's the lead singer, and of course, you know, Robert Palmer, a big guy on his own.
Yeah.
And then the drummer, Tony Thompson, I'm sorry to say, died, I believe, of cancer a few years ago. But he was originally with the band Chic.
Chic.
Do you remember Chic's big hit?
No.
Oh, Freak Out.
Okay.
Chic. That's enough disco. This is the Power Station as we play super groups right here on Rock School. Gong.
Love that beat.
Get it on. He's one of the guys that, Chris Slade.
Uh-huh.
I love the production of his drums. It every snare drum hit.
Yeah, that snare. That is a distinctive snare.
It sounds like a shotgun going off in a hallway.
Sounds
and
good.
Just really nice overproduced drums inside of there. So, okay, we've played two bands that were blatantly super groups. All members from other successful bands. Now, question.
Okay.
Is it a supergroup if there is a single member who is new to the world of music? There's, say, five people in the band.
Yeah.
Four of them are from established groups. People would know who they are, but they bring in, say, a new singer. Is that a super group?
In my opinion, no.
I think it is.
I say no. It's a established group with a new singer, so it's just a new group.
Oh, really?
A new act in town.
See, I call it a super group, which is the reason I kind of think Led Zeppelin was a super group, bringing in this kid. Who's this kid? Let's talk about Journey.
Okay.
Journey is a super group through four people. Greg Raleigh.
Randy Jackson.
Was the he wasn't there till Raised on Radio.
Come
and
on,
by
dog.
The way, there's nothing better than, I'm trying to think of what the video is. It's from the Raised on Radio LP. And I can hear the end of it. And I can't come up with the name of it.
Mm.
But there's nothing better than Randy Jackson with bad peaked up 1980s hair, playing a polka dot pink and white bass in skin tight Velcro pants.
It was
a sight to behold, and that was pre-gastric bypass surgery.
Grossing me out, dog.
Oh, stop it. I can't watch American Idol. I really can't, because I want to cry. I'll tell you one thing that happens, I want to cry. They always have one of the female singers come out and sing Take a Piece of My Heart. Janis Joplin's Take a Piece. This is a song about a woman who is saying to a man who has dumped her, who has told her to get lost.
Yeah.
She's so in love with him and so infatuated. She's basically saying, use me. Do what you want. Just let me be near you. She's crying. She's crushing herself in front of this man. And they give it to, you know, hey, take it. Take a piece of my heart. Oh, it's a sin what you're doing. Back to Journey. Originally, Journey was made up of keyboardist Greg Rawley.
All
He's from Santana.
Yeah.
Guitarist Neil Sean, who's still with him, he is from Santana. Bassist Ross Valerie, who was obviously kicked out for a short while and is now back with him, he's from the Steve Miller Band.
Mm-hmm.
The original drummer was a man named Prairie Prince, who played with a group called The Tubes. She's a beauty, million girls. Right. And then this brand new lead singer whose pants were way too tight, Steve Perry.
Old Steve Perry.
Now, is it a super group? Yes or no? You tell me.
Steve Perry was brand new?
Brand new.
I'd say no.
Okay, see, I say yes, but that's why there's chocolate and vanilla ice cream, and that's why the wheel in the sky keeps turning. Here's Journey. Talk amongst yourselves. Is it a supergroup? Is it not? This is Rock School, brought to you by Home Theater, etc. KSLU. Here's Journey. Journey on Rock School as we click along dealing with supergroups. Hey, by the way, Journey, there's a sort of an urban myth that Journey's name came from a radio contest. A radio contest was held when another reason why I call them supergroups, they were sort of built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the record company put them together. There were other singers that were, and if you read up on Journey, there were other singers from, you know, lesser-known bands, but this Steve Perry was apparently, you hear him in there singing that operatic register that's way up high. Well, when the band was put together, a radio contest was held in the Bay Area to attempt to name this new supergroup, and everyone thinks that old Journey came from that. Not true. The radio contest, as radio contests are wont to do, completely fell apart. It failed. They didn't get the stuff that they wanted. The actual name Journey came from a roadie.
Really?
Yeah, he says, we're constantly on the road. We're constantly taking journeys. Why don't you just call yourself Journey? And it was one of those where, you know, we really need a name, and that's not bad, so here we go.
Sometimes just the simplest things.
Now, is it a supergroup if the band members are all from different groups that play different styles of music? Do they all have to be heavy metal stars to make a heavy metal band? Do they all have to be country stars to make a country band?
I wouldn't think.
No, that doesn't bother you?
No, it would bother me.
Doesn't bother me either. Here's an early supergroup that basically was made up from people from different groups with real differing methods of putting together music.
Mm-hmm.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Now, I'm only playing a Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but later they became Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, Neil Young.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Young is obviously from Crazy Horse and himself. David Crosby is from The Byrds, in psychedelic rock, 8 miles high. Stephen Stills is from Buffalo Springfield, as in protest rock. Stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Yeah.
Graham Nash is from The Hollies, which is, you know, bus stop, bus go, she stays, love grows. Hmm. And they got together at a house. You know the song, Our House? It's a very, very, very fine house.
Yeah.
That's a story about the house that the three of them got together in and began to just sort of sing around and talk. And, hey, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We sound pretty gosh darn good. And then Stephen Stills said, well, I've been working on the song about this girl that I think is really pretty. Oh, yeah? Who's the girl? Judy Collins. Well, let's put it together in multiple parts. We could call it a suite. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, what color are her eyes? Oh, they're blue. So you end up with Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Sweet Judy Blue Eyes on Rock School. That's where the name came from. It's sweet. Not Sweet, S-W-E-E-T. It's Sweet, S-U-I-T-E, Judy Blue Eyes, Rock School.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore. I am sorry. Sometimes it hurts so badly.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash on Rock School. Isn't that wonderful, that little doo-doo-doo-doo-doo? That's one of those things that in concert, I'm sure, goes on for 20 minutes. Are you familiar at all with the album by Frank Zappa, Just Another Band from L.A.? There's like a 25-minute song called Billy Was a Mountain, and right in the middle of it, they break into that.
Really?
And they're making fun of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and the bands are going doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and there's a guy in the back going, I'm so hip! I'm so hip!
Well, these bands like do these subliminal shots at each other that you don't really know about.
That'd
like
be a heck of a good story.
You know, like you said in Eagles, Hotel California.
Sure, stab it with their steely knives.
Yeah. Making fun of Steely Dan. I'm like, and I didn't know that.
There's a Steely Dan song where they make fun of the Eagles back, but see, it's not a Steely Dan hit. You'd really have to be a big fan to know about
it.
So we are way past half past, which means we're past the half past point of the half past of the show here on Rock School.
And
we
have three times fast.
I didn't say it very well the first time. We have a sponsor, and that sponsor's name is?
Home Theater Etc.
I love the Etc. Nice place. They're located in downtown Hammond.
Yep.
Where exactly?
Where 190 splits on the corner of Morris and Mooney across the street from the Florida Parishes Bank. Doc, you've been in there a couple of times.
Yes.
How is it?
Oh, I love it. It's what we used to call a red light district.
Really?
Where you walk in and all the little blinking red lights are on. You know what I mean? You're enjoying yourself and you turn the lights down, you're listening to a piece of music, and you watch all the little lights blink on and off.
I tell you what the best part for me is. I'll go in there every now and then just to visit and kind of kick it with the bosses, and they'll say...
Kick it with the bosses?
You know, I got to be hip-langued in terms.
I am way too old to be hip.
But I'll go in there to talk to them, and the guy will say, well, the boss is on the phone. You want to go chill in the home theater?
Yes, I'd love to. I'd love to chill. I about had enough of this 90-degree weather. So, we also have an email address.
We do.
What is it?
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. Give us an email and let us know what you think, and give us some show ideas.
Sure, we love reading all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We do. Okay, we have a stump for the professor, and if I'm not mistaken, Bad Company.
Bad Company.
Oh, and by the way, to the people who are saying, you know what these are beforehand, I don't.
Mm-mm.
You have to take my word for it that I don't know these beforehand.
I promise.
Missing a couple on purpose, which was suggested. I know the band up front.
Yeah, I do tell him the band.
Yeah, but I don't know what they are, and
just
I
so
try
we can
not to research.
Schedule them in rotation here.
Bad Company. It's a super group. Go.
Doc, I'm not going to lie to you. I got a little lazy, so I did a really quick one, and
okay.
You probably know this. In fact, I think we were talking about it. Name Bad Company's very first album.
Bad Company?
Okay, you got it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you
now,
I got lazy.
Apparently we lied. Apparently now their questions are so easy that we actually did put them together. He might as well just tell me the
answer. When I have time to actually sit down and do some really hard research,
sure.
I will get you. But kind of lost track of time yesterday. Band practice went a little long, and I went, oh, no, I got to get a stop.
You don't scare me, man. I know everything. Here's Bad Company. I'll tell you the members when we get back. Supergroups on Rock School today. That is a true supergroup.
Bad Company.
Bad Company. That's Paul Rodgers singing there. He was with the group Free. Mick Ralphs was with Mott the Hoople. Are you familiar at all with Mott the Hoople?
What?
Mott the Hoople is, we played a song earlier, Get It On, Bang a Gong. It was by a British rock band called T-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Mott the Hoople is also a British rock band.
You saying Mott the Hoople?
M-O, right there it is. You can see it. M-O-T-T-T-H-E.
Like Mott's applesauce.
Right, Mott the Hoople.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to find a reason to play Mott the Hoople. The big song that everyone would know here is All the Young Dudes.
Okay.
And even when you listen to it, you by today, or by American standards, you're like, what are you talking about? It was an anthem that just took over the London kids. But Mott the Hoople, big. And I'll make sure to play some Mott the Hoople a little later on, not in this show, but a little later on as the show continues on. King Crimson had Boz Burrell in it. And then Simon Kirk also came from Free.
Okay.
So.
Bad company.
That's bad company. We move along to Damn Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ted Nugent.
Ha ha.
Tommy Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this group Tommy Shaw's from?
Oh, no.
Sticks. Jack, now here's, I don't know, you got to be a real loopy northerner to get this one. Jack Blades?
I'm not from the north.
Night Ranger. Jack Blades was the bassist and the singer from Night Ranger. Okay. And finally, and this is why I'm playing Damn Yankees, because most people are shaking their head going, Damn Yankees, of all the groups to play. Michael Cardinelli is the drummer. Michael Cardinelli is from Solon, Ohio. Guess who's from Solon, Ohio?
You?
Me.
I thought you were from Cleveland.
Nobody's from Cleveland. You're always from, like, nobody's from New Orleans. They're always from Metairie or Kenner or what have you. I'm from a little town called Solon, which is about 30 minutes south of downtown Cleveland proper.
Okay.
And this Michael Cardinelli, it was a drummer in a whole bunch of rock bands when I was in high school. He was in high school. I knew him. He played with bands. I never was in a band with him. But the son of a gun went out to Los Angeles, worked in session, and got picked up by Damn Yankees.
So your buddy is in a supergroup.
I bet he wouldn't be able to pick me out of a lineup if I mugged him the night before.
Joe who?
Joe who?
The hard rock what?
Here's Damn Yankees, the title track from the album, Damn Yankees Supergroup, with my guy I knew.
You wanted to say friend.
On Rock School. Another one of those Spinal Tap things, and it just won't come to an end. Okay, everybody sit tight, it's coming to an end. Honest to goodness.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, congratulations. And then there's the sound effect there at the end. You know, it's really too bad that Ted Nugent does all of that goofy stuff with the bow and all of those strange, you know, David Lee Roth-esque statements that he makes. It really masks what a very, very good musician he actually is.
You know, with all the talent and the money that he has, I'm sure he's thinking, I can act however I want.
But he always acted that way.
That's
For goodness sakes, he came on stage by swinging in a Tarzan vine wearing nothing but a loincloth, and the loincloth on the back of it had a raccoon tail on it.
See, that's cool. That's cool stuff.
I guess.
Give the people what they want.
And that's what they wanted from him. Now, we're going to play a group called Audioslave here.
I know them very well.
Now, Audioslave is made up of two groups, mm-hmm. Soundgarden, Chris Cornell is the lead singer from it, and then
Rage Against the Machine,
now,
minus Zach De La Roach.
Here's my question.
What?
There's a supergroup out there mm-hmm. called Paul Rodgers and Queen. The lead singer of Queen, Freddie Mercury, passed away, and Paul Rodgers of Bad Company came in and sang, and they're calling themselves not Queen, but Queen and Paul Rodgers.
Okay.
Is that a supergroup?
I would say, yeah.
Oh, you do think that?
Yeah.
Especially when they break out the name?
Yeah.
Okay, well, why then not? Audioslave's a supergroup.
A name is a name. You know?
I don't know much about Audioslave. Tell me about them.
Well, back when I was a DJ back in like 2000, 2001, Rage had split up, and it was rumored that Chris Cornell was going to be the new lead singer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know Chris Cornell and Soundgarden's music, and you know Rage Against the Machine's music, it was not doomed, so to speak, in our eyes, but it was going to be interesting.
Yeah, shouldn't have been put together.
In my opinion, I thought so. First single that I heard was Cochise.
Right.
And it starts off with a nice instrumental from Tom Morello and company, and you're sitting there going, oh, that's Rage. You know that's Rage. That sounds just like Rage.
And in comes the wrong voice.
Well, I'm in what? I was like, what are you doing? And, but you know what? It grew on me, Doc.
Good. At least you gave it another chance.
It grew on me, and now I love that song. Excellent. I love Audioslave. They're good.
What do you say we play a song called Original Fire?
We will.
It's Audioslave right here.
FYI, Audioslave is no more. For your information, that means.
They broke up?
Yeah. Chris Cornell's doing a solo thing, and Rage Against the Machine is going to headline this year's New Orleans Voodoo Fest.
Fantastic.
And we have tickets.
I love Rage Against the Machine.
I do, too.
I don't like admitting it a whole lot because there's a whole lot of cursing in those songs, but man, do I like Rage Against the Machine.
Excellent.
Let's listen to Audioslave. Not Rage Against the Machine, that's for sure, except for that guitar solo.
That Tom Morello solo, you can listen to it and say, okay, I know exactly who that is.
It's called an octave harmonizer, if I'm not mistaken.
He rocks, dude. You look him up on YouTube, and you can just sit there and watch all the stuff that he does.
He's one of those guys that makes all the other guitarists want to quit the instrument?
He finds a real creative way to do that stuff.
No, that's I can still remember that, going into music stores, and there was that guy sitting over there in the corner, you know, the older guy, and we were these young kids and all that, and that older guy picked this thing off the wall, and you just sit there and you think to yourself, oh, I'm never going to get there.
Yep.
Time to quit the instrument, time to pick up the saxophone, put on a big hat, and march at halftime. We talk now about a group out of Britain called Humble Pie.
Humble Pie.
I'm going to tell you what. If you're not into Humble Pie, get a hold of one of their greatest hits album. I mean, and there's just three or four compilations. Any one of them will do, and listen to them. Really, really good stuff. You might also notice the lead singer's voice. If you've not heard Humble Pie before, listen closely. Steve Marriott from The Small Faces is in it. Greg Ridley from Spooky Tooth is in it. Spooky Tooth's another fun... Spooky Tooth. It's a fun group. Jerry Shirley, sort of a nobody that came in. And the lead singer you're going to hear in a little bit comes from The Herd. You probably know him better as his solo name, Peter Frampton.
Peter Frampton!
As we continue on right here on Rock School with Supergroups, this is the long version of 30 Days in the Hole. It has all of that stuff that should have been cut off at the beginning where they're working out the harmonics. Right here, this is Humble Pie. Peter Frampton out front of 30 Days in the Hole. That's Humble Pie. I don't know why, but every time I listen to Humble Pie, it gets under my skin. I then have to go and listen to Vanilla Fudge. I don't know why. Just the two of them are sort of equal to one another.
30 Days in the Hole. Are they talking about the hole that like they throw the prisoners in?
Yeah, go to jail.
Solitary confinement.
I think if you listen to it, they're talking about actual a relationship and all that, but they're equating it to 30 Days in the Hole.
Okay. Because I hear that song and I think of poor Andy Dufresne.
from The Shawshank Redemption.
My all-time favorite flick.
Excellent. We have time for one more as we deal with supergroups here on Rock School.
Who are we going to end with?
We are going to end with the Traveling Wilburys.
I like them.
Yeah, I know it's kind of country, but it's all names that people like. Bob Dylan. Sure. George Harrison from the Beatles, obviously. Jeff Lynne. The hairiest man in rock and roll. He's from the Electric Light Orchestra. I think he wears sunglasses because he literally has hair right on his eyelids. That guy is just covered in Roy Orbison, who passed away after the first album was
Pretty
released.
Pretty Woman.
That's right. And Tom Petty. And why does Roy Orbison wear dark sunglasses? This is a true story.
Why is that?
He started at Sun Records with Sam Phillips. And Sam, I'm telling you, this is true. Sam Phillips told him his eyes were too close together.
What?
And he was scary. So they he, honest to goodness, so he started wearing dark sunglasses. And then finally, Tom Petty, obviously.
Excellent.
Tom Petty and the
Heartbreakers. Wow, now that is a super group.
Yes, it is. The Traveling Wilburys, they all took on goofy names, you know, Bobby Wilbury, mm-hmm. Lucky Wilbury, and if you look at the album, they all have names. It's a good time. We took an hour. We played with supergroups right here on Rock School, brought to you by the good people at Home Theater, etc.
Yep.
I think we're done.
We are done.
We got to be done. We're out of the hour. My name is Joe Burns.
Chad P.
And class is dismissed. Well, it's all